Let's take our Bibles today and turn over to the book of Hebrews. I'm going to be in several places today, but I'm going to be talking about the same man and talking about this little statement that jumped out at me. Hebrews chapter number 11. I love Hebrews, don't you? And I especially love Hebrews chapter 11. There have been many times in my life when I needed direction, when I sought direction from God, that God used Hebrews chapter 11 to help me. And we have a world today that's interested in the Hall of Fame. But I pray that we have a church that's interested in the Hall of Faith. Oh, to hear him say one day after a while, well done. What a blessing that would be. I was watching the news early this morning, and a sports fan, 60 years old, fell to his death. And those that were around him, he was in the stadium down in Atlanta, and those that were around him said that he was saying something to Alex Rodriguez. He was batting, I guess, for the Yankees and coming up to bat. And he lost his balance and fell out of the top balcony. And, you know, you say, well, people get kind of fanatical. They do, don't they? And nobody ever thinks anything about that. But you let somebody say amen or glory to God or hallelujah or give a testimony, and they think that's odd, amen. I tell you, we live in a world that's turned upside down, don't we? I appreciate the Lord giving us this privilege. Hebrews chapter 11, I want to read in verse number 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he would after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him are with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. This stuck out at me this morning, and embraced them. You know, when you get around where hearts are broken, when you get around where death has come, or you get around where there's a major sickness, the embrace is something that's precious. Amen. When you, with your family and your friends. And I believe when God's people embrace the promises of God, when they take them up in their bosom, and it's something they don't want to turn loose of, it's something they find comfort in, I believe that's precious to our Heavenly Father as well. The Bible said they embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Turn over with me, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of James. I'll be back in Hebrews later. James chapter number 2. James chapter number 2. James is making a argument against a man saying that he has faith, yet he has no evidence in his life to back that up. I'll say this, it may not be a popular thing to say, but I believe one of the things that's happened, especially in our Baptist churches, is that we have embraced a salvation without embracing repentance, without embracing works. And we don't work in order to be saved, but surely if we believe the Bible, we believe in a salvation that works. That when a man or a woman or a boy or a girl trust Jesus as their Savior, they get up from there and you don't have to beg them to be baptized, and you don't have to beg them to read their Bible, and you don't have to beg them to go to church, and you don't have to beg them to tell their friends about Jesus or invite somebody to church. You don't have to beg them. You don't have to beg them to stop doing that that's wrong, and they know it's wrong. Amen. Every one of us will see, even in the life of Abraham, have battles, amen, and have failures in our life. But if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I don't think Dustin would mind me saying this, but the other evening when he knelt in the altar, Dustin said, I thought I got saved when I was a kid. I said, Dustin, did anything change in your life? He said, no, sir. I'll tell you something right now. Listen, I don't believe in trying to trip people up or confuse them. But it's not confusing. This is the truth of God's Word. I don't care how many professions you've made. If your life has never changed, then you have a need. And that need is Jesus. Amen. You need the Lord. Listen to what he said in verse 14. I'm not going to read all of this. I want to drop down to 21. What doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. How many knows where a dead faith is going to leave an individual? If they leave this world with dead faith, it's going to leave that individual in trouble with God, amen, and on their way to a terrible place called hell. Dead faith. The faith the Bible promotes is a faith that's alive. Look in verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Now you might say, preacher, the Bible said by the works of the flesh shall no man be justified. And a lot of people get crossed up and they say, well, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's true. That's Romans chapter number 4. You say, preacher, I don't understand how the Bible could say this. Listen to me carefully. We're justified in the eyes of God by faith. But that justification will be reflected in the eyes of man by works. How many knows what I just said? I believe it'll cause you to want to talk right and want to walk right and want to live right. Amen. For the glory of God Almighty. Now listen. He said, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seeing thou how that faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him, or imputed unto him, for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Let me ask you something. Would it be a worthy goal in our life to want to leave this world being called a friend of God? Everybody in this room knows that God wants to be our friend. The question this morning is not, does God want to be our friend? But do we want to be counted as a friend of God? The Bible said in verse 24, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, you remember last week the subject, wanted, dead or alive. The body without the spirit is dead. Dead in trespass and sin. The Bible said, just like the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I didn't write the Bible. I just read it. Amen. And I believe this morning that it's time. The Word of God said that judgment must first begin at the house of God.
It's time that we examine ourselves and make sure, are you listening? Make sure that our calling and election lines up with the Word of the living God. That God changed our life when He saved us. Let's pray and we'll try to get into this message this morning. Father, we love You today and thank You, God, for loving the likes of us. Thank You, Lord, for Calvary. Thank You, Lord, for that precious blood. Thank You, God, for our church. Thank You, Lord, for the warmth. God, You could go many places today and there's a coldness. There's a deadness. There's a dryness. God, thank You for the warmth of the Holy Spirit in our midst. I pray, God, today You'd warm my heart. I pray, God, You'd warm the hearts of others. Lord, there may be a heart here that's dead in trespasses and in sin. I pray, oh God, You'd warm that heart. Finger around that heart. Stir that heart. Help that individual to know, Lord, that, Lord, they too can be a friend of God. I pray, Lord, for each child of God here today. Lord, I know as You, Lord, gave me this message, Lord, that it's not just for my people, but it's for me as well. Lord, there's so many areas in my life that I could do better. I could improve. I pray, oh God, that You'd help us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Speak to our hearts. God will give You glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I usually don't do this, but I want to give you all four of the things that I want to talk about in the services today. And we'll be talking about this morning and this evening as well, the Lord willing. I want to talk about this friendship here. I thought about the game show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And I've watched that before. I'll tell you, evidently, I don't want to be a millionaire. I would have known more of those answers to those questions. Amen. I'll tell you, some of those easy ones, I get them. Amen. But the question this morning is not who wants to be a millionaire, but who wants to be a friend of God. The Word of God said of Abraham, he was called the friend of God. And listen to me. The Word of God said this, that God is no respecter of person. That means, Brother Randy, if He would allow Abraham to be His friend, He would allow you and I to be His friend as well. I remember when God told Moses, when He put him in the cleft of the rock, and he passed by, He said, I'm going to let you see my hinder parts. And He told Moses, He said, behold, there is a place by Me. I'll tell you something today that tickles me to death. That's when I walk by my little granddaughter, and it's obvious that she wants to be in Papaw's arms and in Papaw's lap. I want you to know it tickles our Heavenly Father to death when it, as child, it's obvious in their life that they want to be in His arms and be in His lap and fellowship with Him along life's way. I'll give you four things today, and we're going to back up and look at these. First of all, there's the believing aspect of true friendship. There's the believing aspect of true friendship. In other words, if I tell you something after church, or you tell me something, and I don't believe you, well, there's a problem with our friendship. Amen? We ought to be good for our word. There's the believing aspect. Number two, and this is where really it gets a little bit more difficult. There's the leaving aspect. We're going to look at the life of Abraham. There's the leaving aspect of true friendship. Number three, there's the cleaving aspect of true friendship. And then number four, there's the receiving aspect of true friendship. I want to look at these for a little while today in the services and hope that we can leave here and just want to be a friend of Almighty God. Amen. Want to be counted as one of His friends. Let me give you a couple of things just before we get started. I looked in my Bible program and Abram's name, before he was called Abraham of God, is mentioned 50 times in the Word of God. And that name means high father. Abraham, after that God gave him that name, His name is mentioned 230 times as Abraham. I thought that was tremendous. Amen. To have your name 280 times in the Word of God mentioned by the God of heaven. I thought that is tremendous. And his name Abraham means the father of a multitude. God took him from being a high father and made him the father of a multitude. Amen. He told him, he said, Abraham, in thee all the nations of the earth. I like what the dear brother last week, Brother Pascal, told us how we got our Bible. We need to thank the Jewish nation. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm blessed in Abraham. Amen. And the Bible said, I'll curse them that curse thee, and I'll bless them that bless thee. Oh, beloved friend, think about that. 280 times Abraham or Abram is mentioned in the Word of God. Let me ask you this. How many times do you think the word Jesus, the name Jesus, is mentioned? 943 times. And all but one is in the New Testament. And then that one was over there when it talks about Joshua, and it was really an interpretation of the name Joshua. But let me say this. One-third of the times that Jesus was mentioned, Abraham is mentioned in the Word of God. Think about that for just a minute. You know what I believe? I believe he was a friend of God. I believe God had a lot to say about Abraham. And God wants us to look at his life for a few minutes this morning. Turn to Romans chapter number 4 for just a moment. The book of Romans chapter number 4. And let's look at the believing aspect of true friendship. The believing aspect of true friendship. In Romans chapter number 4, listen to what the Bible said. And by the way, I caught this. We'll get over to the book of Genesis in just a moment. But Abraham was 75 years old when all this got started. Now think about that for just a minute. Amen. A lot of people, listen, they've given up. Amen. I want you to know it doesn't matter whether we're young or whether we're in the middle somewhere or whether we're old. Thank God we can be a friend of God. Amen. Abraham was 75 when all this started, 175 when it was all over for Abraham. Amen. In his life. But thank God the blessings have lived on through the ages. Amen. Look what the Bible said in Romans chapter number 4. What shall we say then, as Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Do you see how you can marry James and Romans chapter number 4? See how that they don't contradict? He's not talking about justification before men here. He's talking about justification before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Listen, we're not working in order to be saved, but we're working because we have been saved. Amen. It all started. Listen, the Word of God said in Hebrews chapter number 11, but without faith, it's impossible to please God, for we must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I believe with all my heart when that day came in Abraham's life, when he said, listen, he heard the voice of God. And he said, you know what? I believe what I'm hearing. By the way, let me just say this. That's always the safe route. When God said it in his word, you might as well believe it. Amen. Somebody said, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. That sounds wonderful. But God said it. That settles it. Doesn't matter whether we believe it or not. It's forever settled in heaven. But when we believe it, we're well on our way to becoming a friend of Almighty God. When we take God at his word. The Bible said in hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie. How many believes God cannot lie? Amen. Somebody said one time to me, they said, there's nothing that God can't do. I said, yeah, there's some things God can't do. One of them is he can't lie. Amen. He's truth. His word is truth. And his word is forever settled in heaven. The believing aspect of true friendship. Abraham took God at his word. Abraham was willing to go with God. Let me give you this now. Listen, nobody can be saved without believing. Nobody can be saved without believing. Somebody was using this illustration, Brother Rose, it might have been on that tape that I heard, about the fellow walking across the tight wire, walking across Niagara Falls. He was walking across Niagara Falls, and he walked all the way across. Then he took a wheelbarrow and pushed it all the way across. And then he asked the crowd, said, No. He took the wheelbarrow. He asked the crowd, said, how many believes I can push this wheelbarrow all the way across? And a lot of people that were believers. Yeah, I believe you can do that. We just watched you do it. Come back this way. You're going back that way. No problem. He said, get in the wheelbarrow. There's a lot of people that believe Jesus can save. Are you listening to me? But I tell you, we don't get saved until we retire. And my friend, put our life in His hands. Amen. Take Him at His word and believe the promise. He said, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Thank God this morning we can be saved. There's the believing aspect of true friendship. You know, if I told somebody something and I got the idea that they doubted what I was telling them, that would hurt me. Amen. That would hurt me. But I tell you, God tells us things in His Word and we don't have to doubt it. We can understand and know that it is true. The second thing I want to show you is the leaving aspect of true friendship. Turn back to Genesis, I believe chapter 12 is where I'm going this morning. Genesis chapter number 12. The leaving aspect of true friendship. Let me talk about this for just a few minutes this morning. The Bible, when Abraham got started, the Bible said in chapter 12, verse 1 of the book of Genesis, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. Listen, that's not always easy. Amen. Your homeland, your home people. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land, not that I have shown thee, but that I will show thee. Somebody said, well, preacher, what is that? Is that blind faith? No, there's more side in that than you could ever imagine. Because Abraham was taking God at His word. He was willing to leave. The Bible said here, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. I'd say 280 times in the precious word of God that's preserved forever and ever, I'd say He made His name great. And thou, watch this, shalt be a blessing. What about that? You say, preacher, I want to be a blessing. I'll tell you, that's worthy. Somebody help me, amen. I want to be a blessing to somebody. Well, if we're going to be a blessing, then the blesser has to bless us. That we might be a blessing to somebody else. And this blessing comes through obedience. And the Word of God said, and I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Think about that. God started with a little seed. That little seed was a seed of faith. Abraham believed God. Abraham was willing to pack up. He was willing to leave Ur of the Chaldees. He was willing to leave his father. He was willing to leave his kindred. He was willing to leave his friends. You say, preacher, do I have to do that to be a friend of God? I want to say emphatically, no, you do not, but you have to be willing. Everyone must be willing. You remember the Bible said of the woman, Jesus saved the woman at the well. The Bible said she left her water pot. And she went into the city. Remember when God called Peter and God called James. The Word of God said they left their nets. Jesus said, boys, we're going to do some different kind of fishing now. We're going to be fishers of men. And they left their nets. I read it this morning. I was going to turn there, but just for the sake of time, I thought about when Elijah met up with Elisha in the field. Elisha, there was evidently, the way I've got it figured out, there was 12 yoke of oxen. And Elisha had the 12th yoke of oxen. He said, come on, son. We got work to do. Amen. And Elisha said to Elijah, said, well, let me go tell mom and dad, bye, boiled the ox and made a meal. They ate it. And he took off down the road with Elijah. Not only that, but think about this over there in the book of 2 Kings. When time after time after time, Elijah told Elisha, tarry ye here, tarry ye here, tarry ye here while I go down to Jericho. Tarry ye here while I go down to the Jordan. And Elisha said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I'm going with you. When Elisha left that ox in the field, he didn't aim to quit on Elijah. He said, I'm going all the way. You know what I believe this morning? We need some of that what old timers used to call Holy Ghost determination. We're not going to quit on the way. Hallelujah. We're going to go all the way with him because he went all the way to Calvary for you and I. Abraham left it. The leaving aspect. I tell you, when we get married, that's what we say we're going to do. Help me. Somebody said, my wife is at the top of the list. Somebody else said, you got a problem. My wife is the list. You better not have a wife that's at the top of the list. There better not be anything down under that. Say amen. Can I tell you this? That's the way a lot of people look at the Lord. Like he's the top of the list. Hey, he is our life. In him we live and move and have our being. Let all your things be done with charity. Do all to the glory of God. What the Bible said. There's the believing aspect of true friendship. There's the leaving aspect of true friendship. I believe today that God's still calling missionaries. But I believe it's getting increasingly difficult for men to be willing. One of the greatest things that we could ever see happen among our youth would be for one of them to say, you know what, Lord? Don't matter where on the face of this globe you want me, I'll go. Have young ladies that want to not just have a man that's a hunk, but want to have a man that loves God and wants to fulfill God's purpose. Amen. In their marriage. There's a lot going on today. But a whole lot of it is not leading towards friendship with God. It's leading away from friendship with God. There's a believing aspect. There's a leaving aspect. And I believe sometimes when you go down through here, and I'll pick up with this tonight. But Abraham departed. There came a little famine in the land. Abraham took off and went down into Egypt. You remember that? You know what you don't find in Egypt in Abraham's life? I'll say more about this tonight. You don't find an altar in Egypt. He had to go back to get to the place of blessing. He had to go back to get to the place of prayer. And I believe with all of my heart, there are people in churches today that genuinely know Jesus Christ, but they're not going to go forward till they go back and pick up where they left off. Amen. The leaving aspect, being willing to leave the flesh, being willing to leave the desires of the flesh, being willing to go with God. Abraham was willing. Abraham was willing. Not only was Abraham willing, if you'll turn back to Hebrews chapter number 11, I'll give you a couple of words and I'm done for this morning. Hebrews chapter number 11, where we began our reading this morning, I want you to catch several words. The Bible said in verse 8, by faith Abraham, was called. I'd like for you to just underscore that, at least in your mind. Called. I mean, he's glad the Lord called you. I'll tell you something, nobody got in without that. I believe that. Amen. I believe the God of all grace speaks to the hearts of sinful men. He calls them. And then the Word of God said in the same verse, he obeyed. See the word right there, obeyed, called, obeyed, sojourned. Let me say this morning, the older I get, the more I realize that the things of this world are so temporary. What was important to me when I was 20 years old is no longer important to me. There's a possibility, I probably shouldn't say anything about this, but there's a possibility that my son-in-law's job could take him out of town. That they might have to move off for a while. When I found that out, and we don't know that for sure, but there's that possibility. I talked to my daughter. It'd be down around the Chattanooga area. It works out. We don't know. But I talked to my daughter. I wouldn't have said this when I was 20 years old. I talked to Charity and I said, Charity, honey, if that works out, I said, can you meet me in Knoxville with the baby for lunch twice a week? How many knows what I just said? Sometimes when we're young, we really don't have eternity on our mind. We really don't have family on our mind. We really don't have friendships on our mind. But I believe we're in a good place here at Bible Way to develop a friendship with God. Abraham didn't say it about himself. And truly, I don't believe anybody ever would. That is a true friend of God. I don't believe, Brother Brian, anybody would stand up and say, look up here, I'm a friend of God. He didn't say it about himself. The Bible said Abraham was called a friend of God. But what would it be like for your children or your grandchildren to call you a friend of God? What would it be like for God Himself to call you, the likes of me? We know ourselves pretty good, don't we? To be called a friend of God. It starts with believing Him. We must believe Him, believe His Word, receive Him as our Lord and our Savior. Then there's that willingness to leave that old life. Go wherever God wants you to do. Go, do whatever God wants you to do. Be whatever God wants you to be. That's a blessing. Abraham was blessed of God. Amen. Abraham is a blessing to us this morning because of that believing aspect and because of that leaving aspect. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Father, I know this morning that You're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us. Lord, it is my prayer this morning that You would help us. Help us, God, that one day after a while, we might be called a friend of God. Lord, I pray that You'll manifest Your presence in our lives, in our church, in our children, our teenagers, our parents, our grandparents. Lord, I pray that You would help us to develop this friendship that would be such a blessing to those around us.
Lord, I believe if we had a church full of people that were a friend of God, that, Lord, we would be a friend of sinners. Lord, I think about how that Abraham was Lot's friend. Even prayed, Lord, that you'd spare the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, all the way down to 10 righteous souls. Lord, you couldn't find 10. I pray, dear Father, this morning that you would help us to be obedient in this invitation.